perspective. And now, it's 7:32 at KVON. It's time for another edition of our Reporters Roundtable, and we're very pleased to be welcoming to the studios of KVON for what I'm told is your first ever radio interview in your entire career and life.
Good morning, Barry. Indeed, I believe it is.
You're hearing the voice of Kevin Courtney of the Napa Valley Register. Welcome and good morning to you.
Good morning to you.
We have to begin with a little bit of biographical stuff. When I have a guest come into the studio and we've got ample time, we like to find out who this person is before we begin. Now, a lot of people in Napa may think they know you because you've been writing about your personal life in your column for how many years now?
I think I'm in my 28th year.
28 year of writing your weekly column.
Yes.
That's a lot of columns.
It's a lot of daily life wrapped up in 22 inches.
Yes. Now, that's you didn't begin as a columnist from the outset. You came to Napa in the 1970s.
Yes.
Uh-huh. As a Cub reporter?
I was a Cub reporter. I think I came here in 73. I'd worked over at the Fairfield Daily Republic. Napa in those days was a larger city. The Napa Register was a larger newspaper. Everything about Napa was just better, and I was happy to make the 15-mile transition over here.
And where do you hail from originally? You're not from Napa originally.
No. I'm East Coast, born in Boston, lived in Connecticut, New Jersey, New York. Thanks to the Army, which shakes up the population from time to time, I crossed the Mississippi, came to the Bay Area, Travis Air Force Base in 1969, and it was the year after the Summer of Love, and the Bay Area was just glorious, and the energy, the beauty, the water, San Francisco, Golden Gate Park, Mount Tamalpais, on and on. So after the Army, went back east, completed my education, and then resolved to go back to where it had been so much fun, which brought me to Fairfield and then to Napa.
Hmm. Very good. And had you always intended to be a journalist? Was that your lifelong pursuit?
No, I was totally aimless as a college student. The major of the time was psychology, and that's what I was. My father was a good public speaker. My father had a way with words. A memory I have, which apparently was my destiny, when I was in sixth grade, the present I wanted and did get from my parents was a tiny little printing set where I could set rubber letters and print my own newspaper. And how I love that. And
little did you know.
Little did I know. So when I came to the Bay Area, I was searching and was very fortunate that I got a job on a very probationary basis in Fairfield.
Do you remember like your first assignment?
Do you remember Harry Martin?
Yes.
Harry Martin, whose fame really is that of being publisher of the Sentinel newspaper, tabloid newspaper. He was the city editor at the time. And in fact, he was still legit, you could say. He was doing mainstream news. And he was the person I reported to. And he sent me out to Kennedy Park to interview the parks director, Robert Pelosi, Bob Pelosi, mm-hmm. who was an outsized character, mustache. He was a wild man who had done many, many jobs. And so I interviewed Bob Pelosi and wrote a feature story about Bob, and I thought it was an auspicious beginning.
There was a certain excitement at that stage of your career. Everything was new. You were discovering a new place. You were writing about people you didn't know.
Napa was exciting. Napa was intimidating. The Register of that time, well, we occupied a full city block. Today we occupy a small building on Soskal. The functions are the same, but at the time, when you walked into the Register, the building was less than 10 years old. It was gleaming new. There was a vast advertising department. Men with jackets and ties. It was an all-male occupation in those days to sell advertising. It was like a little Mad Men. And the 5-6 desks of people taking classified ads over the phone. They were all women. And the newsroom sprawled forever. And it was just a vast enterprise. And I felt like I was a small little, you know, pipsqueak member of it all.
Cog in the wheel of a giant machine. Many of us have visited the old Register building and would imagine every desk in there being filled and typewriters clacking away. This was still typewriter time, right?
Typewriters and people smoking. Yes. A lot of smoking.
Yes.
The only outside news source, pre-internet, was Associated Press, and it came in on a little ticker tape machine that punched out the letters on a long tape, and there was a female employee always who would spool the news, and it would be sent back to a machine that could read the tape, and that spun out
the actual non-local
news. When you had a typewriter, you also had a glue pot, because you can't type perfectly, so you'd be typing away and you'd want to do a revision, so you'd have to take out the paper and cut out what you didn't want and glue the pieces together, and you would every so often complain to the administrative person in the office that you needed fresh glue. Your glue had become stiff, and some people weren't very proficient at changing their ribbons. Sometimes I had difficulty. It was what can you say?
There was a mechanical knowledge necessary compared to the digital knowledge you need to have now.
There was one electric typewriter in the newsroom, and it was given to the newsroom secretary who sent out letters, you know. But the rest of us were hunting and pecking.
On manual typewriters?
Very manual.
Wow. And carbon copies? Were you making carbons all the time?
I don't recall carbons,
no. Not necessary. No. It's fascinating to think about how far we've come. I'm not sure it's all progress, but it's a distance we've come in a lifetime, in a career's span. I was just talking with a gentleman who was here before about what it was like when I was doing this radio show last time I did that prior to this session of shows was 14 years ago, and the immense change in the broadcasting business in 14 years. You've seen that happening in newspapers as well.
Our stiffest competition back in the 70s, Barry, was you guys.
Right.
KVON had two crackerjack reporters, Pat Stanley and Jay Getting.
Yep.
And when we would go to court to cover a murder trial, they would be there, and they would go out and file on the hour. I remember I was so impressed, filing by the hour, which meant they could beat us because we had only one deadline. Mm-hmm. And that was about noon because we were an afternoon newspaper,
which
seems strange, doesn't it? Today, of course, newspapers have websites. We post all the time. And more than once, I have thought that we're like a little radio station now.
Absolutely.
Posting, posting. We're always live.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I recall with some fondness when I came to the station here in 1986, and within about a year, I was the program director and so responsible for the news department. And Pat and Jay were pretty much gone by the time I came. But we had at least three full-time news people at that point in 1986. And every day, the routine was the same. We knew there were certain places where you could get the Register at about 11 in the morning. And one of the news people would go to the news box. So, like, we waited, you know, it was like, what, is it time to go? Is it time to go? They would get the paper. We'd bring it back, lay it out in the newsroom. We'd all look at what stories we did not have yet. And then we'd immediately jump on and try to get our version of those stories we hadn't covered yet.
Pat Stanley, your crackerjack radio reporter, who later worked at the Register, had a pilot's license. And somehow he convinced Tom Young on occasion to rent an airplane, and he would give traffic reports from the air.
Yeah.
And I thought that was ridiculous. But he did it, and traffic wasn't really a big issue in those days.
Not so much.
But you guys were on top of your game.
Okay. We're talking with Kevin Courtney. It's our Reporters Roundtable segment for this week, where we invite local and regional journalists to come in and talk about what it is they do and the stories that are important. And Kevin Courtney, having covered the news in Napa since the mid-70s, has probably a perspective that nobody else around today has. I said in the tease earlier that you've been covering news in Napa longer than anyone else currently active. Would that be accurate?
The others are deceased, yes.
Yes. not as long as some who are deceased, perhaps, but among living people, you're holding the crown.
Right? I am the last man standing, yes.
Okay. You made the transition how many years ago to being city editor?
Maybe seven and a quarter years ago.
Yeah, and with some reluctance, I think. True?
The thought was that I would miss writing, which was my life. I truly relate to writing, pecking out stories. However, also, city editors over my 35-plus years as a reporter, they came and went with great velocity. Mm. They didn't stick. And that told me the job wasn't very good. It probably didn't pay that much better, and you didn't have the satisfaction of writing. So I was very wary of becoming an editor. As it turns out, it's a wonderful job. The satisfactions of working with reporters are great. You see the paper in the morning, you feel it's yours. I write the headlines. I confess to that because sometimes they're not the best. On occasion, they have errors. And they're not as witty as some of my predecessors' headlines have been. Hmm. But it's all gratifying to put your imprint on a daily product.
There's one universality, I think, of experience, and that is that local people, when there's a story in the Register about them or involving them or something they're connected to, they will criticize the headline without fail, right? You get this all the time.
They do criticize the headline. And I hear reporters on the phone being lambasted by their source. And they keep saying, I don't write the headlines. I hold my breath for fear that they will explain who does write the headlines. And I've instructed them not to do that.
Kevin Courtney's our guest here at KVON this morning. We're going to take a brief break. We'll come back with much more as this is our Reporters Roundtable segment for this week. More to come in a moment. Okay, we're suddenly back because as we were talking about manual skills versus digital skills, the ability to operate a typewriter ribbon, it's a useless skill these days, but making this computer work is important, and right now it's not going to work. So we're just going to keep talking, all right? Fair enough. As mentioned, it's our Reporters Roundtable segment. Our guest is Kevin Courtney, who is the city editor for the Napa Valley Register and has been writing his weekly column for, you said, 28 years.
28 years.
28 years. Times 52 weeks. Somebody else do the math. Do you write it every single week?
I have never missed a Sunday in 28 years.
Wow.
I write them when I'm on vacation. I write them when I'm sick.
Wow.
I write them when there's nothing to write.
Which is a lot of the time in a small town like this. Where do you come up with all your ideas?
I exploit my family. Occasionally I get phone call. I have received the occasional phone call, an angry anonymous letter saying it's hogwash, you're self-absorbed, I have no interest in what you're writing, and I cannot argue with that person. I can only advise that they move on. But it's a very personal column. I write about my life in Napa, and I've used my children as their issues crop up. I am twice married. That has provided issues. Daily life is quite something.
What, for example, I have to admit I did not read yesterday's paper. What was your topic yesterday?
Oh, my Lord. the title was Urban Forestry,
uh-huh.
And I wrote about the trees, my life with the trees on our property and the endless numbers of ways they can cause problems. Christmas trees planted small outgrow the spot given to them. Trees come down in storms. Trees show signs of illness. If you don't own a tree, perhaps the column would not have appealed to you.
Hmm.
But if you own a lot of trees, it was a meaty piece, Barry.
Yeah, there's a realization you have to come to, just like doing this. You know, like not every sentence that comes out of my mouth is a gem, right? Do you ever have to look back and say, I could have done better? I'm sure you do, because you're a very self-examined life kind of person.
It's you know, it's life's percentages. You have your wonderful days, which maybe are 25-30%. You have a whole chunk of mediocrity, and then there are some dogs.
Okay, again, our guest, Kevin Courtney. We'll see if we can make the computer work now and take the break we're required to take. Back after these messages. Or still not working. Okay, that'll be fine as well. So it's going to be one of those days. That's fine. We'll roll on. I don't need breaks. Do you need breaks?
No, I'm okay. I brought my coffee, Barry.
Good. Let's turn our attention now to a little bit of how, and I'm sure people are fascinated and are curious about this. How do you go about deciding what's news and what's not news? There are plenty of people listening who would say, well, I sent a press release that one time and they didn't run it. Or I pitched a story and they didn't think it was a story. And yet when this other thing happened, oh, they covered that for days. So how do you make those decisions? Is that your choice on what's getting in the paper and what's not?
Well, as John F. Kennedy once said, life is not fair, Barry. A lot of it is just pure luck. We receive an abundance of story suggestions and feature story suggestions. People with tragic illnesses, children in precarious situations, homeless people of all stripes, good causes who need publicity. And all of that comes funneled into the daily newspaper. And sometimes it's very discouraging because I know I can say yes to only a small percentage of requests. Sometimes you decide, have we written about X before? Has this organization been featured within the last 2 years? Perhaps it's time for someone else to have a chance. And a lot of it is what else is going on in the lives of the four news reporters that we have. Four reporters isn't a lot for a county of 140,000 people that's exploding with this, that, and the other. We're a hot spot, you know. So it's allocation of resources. Things are tight.
When you think back on this little town that's grown immensely since you came here in the 70s. It must be 3-4 times the size it was then. So I know it was about.
I think it's only double. I think slow growth bit hard in the 80s, 90s, and we're only twice as big, but there's a different dynamic, too. It's a different community.
Yeah, very different, isn't it? And you've seen all that change take place. What stands out for you as sort of watershed moments? Or, you know, jumping off points where you knew things were changing?
I thought about this, anticipating our chat this morning. Perhaps the most fundamental change that has occurred in my 45 years is how special Napa has become to the world, how elite the Napa Valley wine industry has become. We're not premium or just super premium. We may be higher than that. We're world class. What does world class mean? There are many implications of that. People come here to dine in a way they never would have dined before. The valley is so full that it's spilling down into the city of Napa. When I came here, Napa was very blue collar, very ordinary, very middle class. You didn't feel you were in a rarefied environment at all. It was very pleasant, but it wasn't. There wasn't a lot of glitz. There wasn't a lot of money. Silverado was the little glitz point for Napa. The rest of us were eating at, you know, curbside cafe and ordinary places.
Rainbow Bridge.
Oh, the Rainbow Bridge. And then it's almost the analogy I sometimes use for myself is that you don't know you're in a boiling pot of water if the heat is turned up gradually. And I would say the valley became special in such small gradations that I didn't appreciate it until after it had happened, until maybe I started noticing limos everywhere. And I'm wondering, what are they all about? I didn't understand how limos related to wine tasting. I was clueless. Mm. And I didn't realize how having a world-class wine industry would increase the allure of the Napa Valley to the point that people with wealth and homes somewhere else would want weekend places here. I live on a street that a third of the homes now are second homes. A third. To the left, to one side of me and in the back of me, part-time people. Mm. And the homes aren't necessarily that much more special than they ever were, but the location is. People, it's a state of mind now, Napa Valley, mm-hmm. and it wasn't a state of mind before. Mm.
Just to think about those kinds of changes in such a short amount of time, as you say, there were no real places to eat, no fancy places.
Fisher's Fine Foods downtown was not fine food. It was not. But it's where the locals would go for their midday repast.
Absolutely. Most everything that was downtown was there to serve the lunch crowd for people who worked for the city or the county or companies like the Register that had a lot of employees back then.
Yes.
Yeah. And there was no evening scene. There was nothing. People didn't really serve dinner because there was no dinner business. This whole concept of the wine country was in St. Helena. As I recall, I mean, if you went to St. Helena, now you got the sense of you're in the wine country.
Even Yountville, which is culinary capital today, in those days it was the Chutney Kitchen, which was charming and homey, but, you know, it didn't win Michelin stars, but it was considered the coolest thing ever when it appeared. And the diner in Yountville. Good roadhouse food, mm-hmm. but today, I don't know. Yeah. It's like it's a weak version of maybe Cindy Paulson's Mustard's Grill, which became so much cooler than a diner, and then we're off to the races.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and the race continues. So as we roll along here in our interview with Kevin Courtney, I want to talk some more about what's to come, what you're seeing as the current issues. But it's fun to talk about the old days as well. You covered the city council for how many years?
It was very spotty and not that many. I was a general assignment reporter for a big chunk of time in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So maybe city council for 10 years of my 37, 38 as a reporter, mm-hmm. 10 or 12. Mm-hmm.
So general assignment meant you didn't know where you'd be going or what you'd be writing about day to day.
It was often features. It was often a foray up valley. In those days, today the Register, we owned the weeklies in Calistoga and St. Helena. So their reporters, in effect, become resources for the Register's coverage. In the old days, we had to have an up valley reporter. And the Register sent people to St. Helena Council, Calistoga Council, as the issues required. So if you work for the Register now as a news reporter, you're more city of Napa oriented because we've covered the outlying areas with the weeklies, including the American Canyon Eagle, which is another Register mm-hmm. property. Mm-hmm.
So you might be traveling to any location. It might be a big hubcap ranch breaking news you'd have to go cover.
And we also We were a six-day-a-week paper for mm-hmm. most of my time here. Yeah. And we did features all over the Bay Area. So It was a different. It was just different.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're very Napa-centric. In those days, we roamed because how else would we bring the world to our local readers?
Well, right. And think about it. If you didn't subscribe to another paper, and the evening news from CBS was what you had to rely on, and some radio news, of course. But in terms of like legitimate print coverage. If you didn't do the world news and people that lived in Napa and subscribed to the paper wouldn't get any. It was a big responsibility.
You felt it, and I suppose we call it a news hole. We had a news hole that was bigger for the state, national, and world in those days because we felt that it was incumbent upon us.
Mm-hmm.
We had to be all things to our readers.
Mm-hmm. What's it feel like now to have that distance, really, with the content that your newspaper provides, the content that this radio station can provide, is unique in that it can be super local. But all of the rest, just about everything else, is being covered by other people in other ways, and access to it is as close as your smartphone. Does that create a divide? Does that create a challenge for people in the journalism business?
Well, our mission these days is to be hyperlocal with the resources that we command. I suspect the average age of the newspaper reader in Napa and nationally has skewed up. It's higher than it ever was. People who want that traditional flip-the-page experience. So that reader, those readers have to be served a concise collection of the news of the day without being at all exhaustive. Only the internet can satisfy your much greater curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Our interview today is here with Kevin Courtney, longtime reporter and currently city editor for the Napa Valley Register. It's our Reporters Roundtable for this week, and we're going to take a break and come back with more in just a couple of minutes, so don't go away.